Now, back to Just Jenny on Sirius XM Stars.
All right, so 888-947-8277 is the phone number here. It's Just Jenny, and it's Weight Wednesday, so it's quite appropriate that Dr. Jen Berman is with me to talk about her new app for the iPad called the No More Diets app, because we're all on a diet, and who knows who it works for and who it doesn't work for. I'm a compulsive calorie counter, and I just think that everybody needs help dealing with how to deal with their bodies. So, hey, Dr. Jen.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. So tell me, what is the app? What's the story? And how do people find you and it?
Okay, well, here's the deal. What we know is that statistically speaking, that diets don't work between 95 and 98% of the time. Mm-hmm. And that what tends to happen is it tends to lead to loss of control with food. It tends to lead to a lot of yo-yo dieting and binging, mm-hmm. which tends to make people depressed and irritable and have trouble concentrating and tired and all that sort of stuff. So what we found is that really the best thing to do is what we call the non-diet approach. And this app is based on the non-diet approach, which is also what my doctoral dissertation was based on. And in order to stop dieting and to pull yourself out of that cycle, what you do is you work on listening to your inner cues. We are all born with an ability, unless there's something dramatically, terribly wrong, we are born with the ability to listen to our bodies, to eat when we are hungry, to stop when we are satisfied, and to listen to those cues. What tends to happen after years of dieting is that we disconnect.
Well, but sometimes I feel like that disconnect happens even earlier than we're aware.
In what way?
Well, I think sometimes with kids, the nurturing might be off in the home.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And so we become disordered in how we listen to our bodies or can't listen to our bodies or won't listen to our bodies and start using food in a way that's other than using it for fuel. And I think that's
completely agree with that.
Tough to undo.
One of the mistakes that parents make is that eat all the food on your plate, you know, make sure, you to eat this, now I want you to eat that.
Right.
Kids need to be taught to trust their instincts, and sometimes parents have their own anxieties around their own food and body image, and
as a result,
they project it, right? Of course. We all are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Please, my kids are so, I work very hard to have my kids have a healthy mindset about it, because they know that I'm so disordered. There's no secret.
And also, you know, that gets absorbed to some degree. You know, we have to be careful when we do as I say, not as I do, because we are our kids' role models.
Of course,
and that's always really challenging. So, you know, one of the things that we found is that when you learn to go back to those inner cues and really listen to your body, that tends to be what gets really long-term results. And also, even more importantly to me as a therapist, than how much you weigh is whether you have peace of mind and peace with your body, with food and your relationship.
But sometimes the peace, and this is going back, I remember years ago, I went to Overeaters Anonymous. I mean, going back right after I had my son, I think. And I remember feeling so agitated. And of course, it's my issue and my projecting. But I was so agitated and angry about the people who claimed they were abstinent or not active in their food addiction or whatever, but they were 250 pounds.
Sure.
And it was this weird sort of fat serenity thing. And I thought, I don't want fat serenity. I don't want to be fat, period.
Well, to me, what is most important is your relationship with food. And yes, there are certain people who their metabolisms will not allow them to be 120 pounds or whatever it is that someone has in their mind as the ideal. But for most people, when they stop acting out with food, when they stop eating for emotional reasons, when they stop doing that yo-yo dieting stuff and really tune in, they become their natural weight. Their natural weight may not be Kate Moss, most of the time it is a healthy weight.
Absolutely.
Especially when they're able to exercise moderately,
right,
as the Heart Association recommends.
Of course, and there's a weight range. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yep.
There's a weight range for people of like 15 pounds. So it's not...
Sure.
It's not like you have to be the lowest. I certainly, for my height, I mean, I don't give my number, but I'm within a healthy weight range. That's it.
Sure.
I'm certainly not at the low end. I'm not at the high. I'm just in the healthy weight range. I'm no Kate Moss. Never will be.
And also, you know, I know from my own personal experience, and I've been very open about this, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. I had an eating disorder. And I had
What kind?
I was an elite level gymnast.
Oh, I'm so envious.
Well, I did rhythmic gymnastics. I was on the national team, and I had a coach that really had us all starving ourselves.
Oh, my God. You're like, make it or break it. You're like painting on make it or break it.
I've never seen that, but I'll
it's
take
an ABC
your word
family.
For it. Uh-huh. And we all started restricting, and I started doing that restriction kind of binging sort of stuff that typically happens. And then I retired from gymnastics, and I was still much like the guys in the Ansel Keys study, which I always talk about, where they had these guys who were conscientious objectors to World War II. Mm-hmm. They volunteered for the study, were screened for mental health, and basically they all developed eating disorders when they were put on diets. But that's what happened for me. And while I was never clinically diagnosed, I did all that sort of overcompensating, binging.
Of course. Over-exercising. Sure.
Exactly, for years and years, and then overeating. And I know for me, I had tried every diet known to man. I kind of hit my rock bottom. I was like, I don't know what else to do. And a friend of mine had said, you know, I've heard about this new non-diet approach. You may want to try it. She recommended a few books to me. One of my favorites is Breaking Free from Emotional Eating.
Is that one of Janine Roth?
Yes.
Love Janine Roth so much. Janine Roth definitely, when I was still fat when I read her first book, mm-hmm. but I think When Food is Love was
yes,
the first
which
book.
Is a great book.
I loved that book so much, and it spoke to me because she talked about either she did it or someone else did it, had gone to a bakery, bought out the bakery, sat in the car and ate it, and then had to look for a place to throw away the boxes.
And then she drove back to get the food.
Yeah, who hasn't done that?
Yeah, you know, and to me that's always a sign that you've hit a desperate point. When you're doing that, that's a sign, well, you may not have a clinical eating disorder. You have what's called an eating disorder NOS, not otherwise specified.
Yeah, I have that for sure, 100%.
And it's no way to live, and I was there once. And, you know, for me, when I was in that state of mind, food was, at the very best, on a good day, it was a constant background noise. But mm-hmm. what I can tell you now is that food is completely not an issue for me. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. It is not an issue.
I think you're super.
Yeah.
And you know I think you're smart. But
yeah.
I don't believe that food is a zero issue for you. Do I think you have it managed and healthy and you have a good mindset? Yes.
It's not managed. It doesn't have to be managed. I don't worry about it. I don't think you can ask my husband. You can ask anyone who knows me, that my friends kind of who don't know me from my eating disorder days marvel at sort of how not eating disordered I am.
I see. I don't know anyone like that. Everyone I know, there's not a girl that I know in real life. And so even though I want to call bullshit, I'm not really going to because we haven't eaten together.
But, I would be happy to.
But, no, I know. Yeah. But my friend, there's not a friend, there's not a person, skinny or not skinny, who
and
doesn't have some
I
issue.
When I was in the midst of my eating disorder, I thought the best I could hope for was to quote unquote manage it, to
right.
be a weight that I could live with, but to be thinking about it all the time. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. And really, the reason why I was inspired to do the No More Diets app is because I wanted to share that recovery with people. I wanted for other people who were struggling with yo-yo dieting
mm-hmm.
or even with eating disorders, obviously with the help of a therapist,
mm-hmm.
to have all the tools that I use with my clients, that I use myself, because it's a complex issue.
And it's a complex issue.
I'm a believer in full recovery. And I know there are a lot of people who say you never fully recover, you're in recovery. That's not my life experience, and it's not what I strive for with my clients with anyone I work with.
By the way, I love your passion. Let me take a call. We're going to go to Lori. Dr. Jen Berman is with us. She is on Twitter at Dr. Jen Berman online. She's drjenberman.com, right?
Yes.
And
but it's it's Dr. Jen, DrJenn.
Okay, Berman.com.
Yes.
I'm going to take, how do I take line 4? Can I just do it? Okay. Hey, Lori, you're on the air.
Thanks very much, Dr. Berman. I have a
question for you.
Hi.
Sure.
I have a question for you in terms of weight loss and so on. You know, I have no trouble getting to the gym every morning at 6 o'clock. I have no trouble doing the weight training and so on. But when I get in that moment of, do I have 3 chocolate chip cookies or do I have 6 egg whites,
mm-hmm.
that's where it's like in the moment that I get lost.
Mm-hmm. And what I can tell you is, the non-diet approach does not believe in restriction. And what happens is that those cookies, because you withhold them from yourself, have all this other meaning. What tends to happen in that situation is the person, like you, says, well, I shouldn't be having the cookie, so I'm going to have the egg whites. So then you eat the egg whites. What you really wanted is a cookie. So then you're like, well, I shouldn't have the cookie, so I'm going to eat something else. Okay, I'm going to have some fruit. Then you eat toast. Then you have 10 other things, and then you find yourself eating the cookies. Okay. Now you've eaten all that extra food that you didn't really want, and you weren't satisfied. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to let myself have some cookies. I'm going to see how I feel. I'm going to check in with my body. I'm going to stop when I'm satisfied, not full, not stuffed, and I'm going to give myself permission to eat cookies again when I want cookies. It takes the magic and the excitement out of it. Understand, when you first start doing this, you tend to overeat at first. And I have a whole section in the app, because the app has an ebook in it that has 15 chapters, and each chapter is on a different topic. One of the chapters is on what I call legalizing food, which is how to bring foods back into your life that were previously forbidden in a way that it isn't too anxiety.
All right, so Jen, I happen to agree with everything you just said right then. And I would say to Lori, because it's a great question, and one that any dieter or non-dieter who's at a healthy weight can sometimes struggle with. And for me, sometimes what I do is I think I weigh the benefit of eating it then or not eating it then. Like, do I really need to have it? Do I really want it? But I do think, and sometimes I have a cupcake for lunch, and that would be it. And don't, because I, calorically speaking, I can't have the cupcake plus a healthy lunch. I just can't. So I have to really think which one I want to have, or listen to my body would be better language. But I do think that the idea of taking away the magic and the power of the food and bad versus good, et cetera, is key. I think the less we make it that there's a stigma attached to delicious foods that are not healthy for our bodies.
And also a judgment.
Oh, yeah.
A judgment of good food and bad food, which is very diet mentality. When you think of food as good and bad, if you eat a food that's quote-unquote bad, then you feel bad. And then when you feel bad, you're far more likely to turn to food to comfort yourself
right.
and overeat. And it creates this vicious cycle.
It does.
Yep.
But it is scary to first let go of that and then
completely.
Potentially gain weight with the intuitive eating stuff, because you could start it, and the first week you could gain 3 pounds and go, what did I just do?
And I remember when I first started this process, I had come off of a very, very long, very restrictive diet. And when I first started doing it, I put on weight, and it scared the crap out of me. And I remember slowly integrating foods back into my life that I hadn't eaten for years and years, and how terrifying it was for me. But I felt like, you know what, I've done everything else. I made a commitment to myself. I said, I'm going to give this 1 year. I knew other people who had done this, and I saw what incredible recovery they had, and I saw these people who now weren't worrying about food, weren't freaked out about food, were eating what they wanted and were healthy weights, and I thought, I've got nothing to lose. I've gained and lost 1 million pounds, and I'm going to give this 1 year, and I'm glad I did.
By the way, and I think it's certainly worth a shot for everybody, but I do think that you came from the, and I know that it's a spectrum, and I know that overeating and undereating are the same disease manifesting in different ways. I get that. But you did come from a place, you were an elite gymnast, and so you came from a place of being overly thin. And I know that you gained weight stopped.
But the majority of my eating disorder, I was not overly thin. The majority of those 10 years, I was overweight and struggling and hating my body and feeling fat and feeling unhappy with myself. It that was the constant battle. And it was, you know, I was about probably about 40, maybe 50 pounds heavier than I am now.
Okay.
And I spent a lot of time there. I spent many years there and going up and down from that weight.
So not fun.
And the way I felt about myself, but what I really had to do, and you kind of mentioned this earlier when you made reference to the people who you met at OA, was I had to make peace with my body at that weight in order for it to come off. And I had to say, you know what? I accept myself as I am. This is not the weight I want to be, but I have a body that gets me from point A to point B. And I had to really struggle to find things that I liked about my body at that weight. But when I was able to accept myself more and not be delusional, but accept where I was and stop struggling against myself, I was able to let go of so much that freed me to listen to my body. It's really hard to listen to your body when
yes.
you hate your body.
That's true.
It's a contradiction. When you are filled with self-loathing, it's really hard to trust your body and say, okay, I'm going to eat when I'm hungry. And one of the most helpful tools with the non-diet approach and with the No More Diets app is there's a food and feelings log. And in the food and feelings log, you can rate your hunger from 0 to 10, 0 being so ravenous that you could eat an inanimate object.
Yes.
10 being the fullest you've ever been, 5 being neutral.
Right.
You want to work on eating when you're a 3.
Of course.
3 is solidly hungry. If you're not sure if you're hungry, you're probably a 4. If you are starting to feel dizzy or nauseous or anything like that, you're probably a 2. If you let yourself get to a 2, you're going to overeat because you get into that sort of that primal state, and it's like your body can't catch up to those hunger feelings.
Of course.
And that feeling of panic.
Right.
And you tend to eat too much. You want to stop when you're a 5 or a 6, because that's listening to your body. And like you mentioned earlier, that's treating food like it's fuel.
Of course.
Obviously, it's more complex than that, but that's part of the goal. The part of the goal is to really listen, but also to bring pleasure back to food.
Mm-hmm.
There is not pleasure when you are constantly feeling like food is good and bad and you're scared of food.
Okay, so we have to go to break, Dr. Jen. I hope you're going to stay through the break with us.
Absolutely.
And during the break, we're going to take caller number 30. And caller number 30 is going to get a free iPad app code so they can get your No More Diets app for their iPad. So if you want to try to get this free iPad app code, be caller number 30 now at 888-947-8277, 888-94-STARS. Back on This Weight Wednesday with Dr. Jen Berman in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
This is Just Jenny on Sirius XM Stars. Now, back to Just Jenny on Sirius XM Stars.
This is Just Jenny. I've got Dr. Jen Berman here with me on this Weight Wednesday. She's got a new iPad app called No More Diets app, right?
Yep.
And it's good because it's about listening to your body rather than restricting your intake, that your body will naturally regulate itself. And this takes time. It doesn't happen overnight or in 2 days. It's not a 3-day quick fix like the cleanses I'm looking into. But I find the cleanses and stuff ridiculous. The truth is, and I've said this every different way, I think all of those kinds of diets are foolish and silly and only usable in a, you have 3 pounds of water, you want to just play around, whatever. Like, it's not, if you really want to lose weight, you have to change your life.
And also the other problem with those is that they tend to slow down your metabolic rate. They
tend
to leave you irritable, and then you tend to binge after you finish.
Right, exactly. So let's go to our winner because Diane won the app. Hey, Diane.
Hi.
Hey, you won the iPad app code for No More Diets app. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, so hold on, and we're going to get that code to you in just a few minutes, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hold on, Diane. So let's go to Sarah in New York. Hey, Sarah.
Yeah?
You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Dr. Berman, nice to talk to you.
You too.
Quick question for you. I like your diet philosophy here, and I'm wondering if you're on medication where you are restricted based on the medicine, you have to eat at certain times, you have to eat certain foods. How can you implement your strategy?
You know, that is it's a great question. And interestingly enough, Janine Roth has a book called Appetites. And she was diagnosed with a medical condition, and she is really the queen of the No More Diets approach. And she talks in that book extensively about this. I would highly recommend it for you. And what you have to do is to really look at, in a situation like that, food as medicine, and at the same time try to get as much pleasure out of it as you can. So within the confines of what you have to do for yourself medically to keep yourself safe, then you need to make choices within that that you can do. And when you remove the good food, bad food mentality, it tends to open up a lot of options you might not have considered, even beyond what you're not allowed. When within the foods that you are allowed based on a medical condition, sometimes we get into that diet mentality. We say, okay, well, I'm allowed nuts, but I'm not going to eat nuts because I hear they're really fatty. But when you allow yourself to do that and you remove whatever restriction you can, it makes a huge difference in the process.
Okay.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Julie in Omaha. Hey, Julie, you're on with me and also with Dr. Jen Berman.
Oh, super. Thank you for taking my call.
You betcha.
Okay, so my question is, I'm kind of a different case, I suppose. When I was little, all growing up, I nearly weighed, you know, like 5 pounds probably until I was like in college. And then once I was away, I found that I could eat whatever I wanted. Mm-hmm. I've always been a really picky eater. And so my question, I guess, is, and I don't really believe in dieting either, but my problem is that if I'm not eating any fruits or vegetables, then, you know, how's that going to work?
Are you overweight? What are you?
Now I am, yeah.
Okay.
Well, first of all, it's unfortunate that your family probably didn't know what to do when you were this picky eater, because most kids start out as picky eaters, and when parents don't expose them to foods repeatedly, because on average it takes kids 15 times being exposed to the same food before they're really open to it, and a lot of the time people start to think of themselves as picky eaters because they didn't have the exposure they needed as kids. What I would recommend that you do is to make a commitment to yourself to once a day to try one new food. And to revisit foods that you haven't tried and in the fruits and vegetables department, and also to look for ones that you do like. Because I imagine that with all the fruits and vegetables available and all the different ways to make it, it's not that you don't necessarily don't like fruits and vegetables. You haven't found the fruits and vegetables that you like, and you haven't found the way to prepare them so that you enjoy them.
That's right.
By each day making a commitment, I'm going to try one thing. I don't have to finish it. I don't have to eat a lot of it. I just have to try it. You will start to open your eyes to a lot of other foods that you might not otherwise normally
Thanks,
eat.
Dr. Jen Berman. Okay, everybody go to drjenberman.com. You could spell that out.
It's actually drjen.com.
Oh, Dr. Jen.
DrJenn.com.
Okay. Go to drjen.com, find the No More Diets app on iTunes and put it on your iPad, and check out Dr. Jen's show on Cosmo Radio weeknights, 8 p.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for being on the show. You're the best.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.